Good afternoon, everybody. We'll continue to the last part of this day-long workshop. I hope that it's being of interest to a number of people here. Our first speaker for the last part of the afternoon is Professor Yuma. He's an assistant professor of marketing from the University of Alberta, and his expertise is consumer choice modeling. And the title of his presentation today is Choice Modeling: How Consumers Interpret the Nutritional Quality Index. This is important because it takes us to the user end of things and provides us important information. You?
Thank you very much. Okay, I guess good afternoon, everyone. I think it might be a surprise for you to find a marketer here talking about obesity and chronic disease. But this is actually what I do in my academic research. I look at factors which drives people's food consumption and food purchase, and then try to figure out what kind of business activities as a private company and industry they should take so that to encourage everyone to eat better. So that's the primary research idea I'll discuss today. Let's start with this kind of framework that outlines my general research directions. And as a consumer, we all have our own shopping experience. If you go to a supermarket just to buy maybe breakfast cereal, you'll notice there are dozens of brands for you to choose from. If you go to a bigger place, there may be 30, 40 different brands to choose as a consumer. And think about that. We all want to eat healthy. But the question is, how do you make the right choice out of the 40 different cereal? Which one will be better for you? At the same time, if you have large household, if you have low income, you are constrained about how much you can spend on your food. So you also worry about the price, how much I'm going to end up paying for this, and how should I trade price versus quality. Okay. So it's a very complicated decision process. Most of us don't realize that, and we make very bad choice in those kind of situations. Okay. I can assure you that. Okay. So, under a typical situation, there are three main agents that guide our behavior in this kind of purchase decisions. So we have government regulations. So for example, every single food item, they should have a nutritional fact label in supermarket. And then we have industry regulations. They design their product, they set price, they design promotion, and then they decide where should I put this product to sell. Okay. So those are the typical marketing decisions. We call them 4P: price, promotion, product, and place. Okay. This will also influence consumers' decision. And then as consumer, we have our own income, we have our own purpose, we have some psychological process which guide our decision making. Some of those are based on heuristics, may not be the best decision we can make, but as a human being, we have a tendency to use those kind of shortcuts. So one interesting thing that has been demonstrated in marketing research is, if you put a little yellow tag to the product on the shelf, even without any actual price card, people are going to buy them more. Because people think it's on sale, it's on promotion, it must be good. So these kind of factors will drive consumer decision, and my main focus is on what forms behavior and how consumer characteristics will influence the decision process. So there are a few unique perspectives of this type of research. The first unique or interesting point is we use commercial marketing research data. In that, I mean that we collect data from marketing research firms like AC Nielsen and Information Resource Incorporated. They provide precise information about what consumers buy in supermarket, how much they pay for them, and whether it's on sale, what's the actual quantity they consume. Okay. Well, the benefit of those things is coded by UPC. So we can look it up, find out exactly the brand name, the package size, the nutritional content, and whatever fat-free or sugar-free claim on the package. We have precise information on that. Of course, there's always a downside. That is, we don't have the purchase in restaurant, so we can only look at home food consumptions. But when we discuss at home food consumptions, this commercial data source should give us a very complete picture. And the second benefit of using those data is we actually have access to many consumer characteristics, such as your demographics, your household income, education. For those market research companies, they maintain a huge panel. So in the United States, they have 100,000 consumers track their purchase every day for up to 3 years. And for each single consumer, we have health service, we know their BMI, we know do they have heart disease, do they have diabetes, and how many times they eat out at fast food restaurant, how many times they exercise. So those information those consumers' information, we can collect all of them and put them into our models. Okay. So given this kind of data, we can look at how consumers make decisions and how these decisions are moderated by their demographics, their health status, and price promotion, those type of business activities. And by doing this, we are hoping that we can give business some guidelines. If you want to encourage people to eat better, how should you set the price and promotion? At the same time, for government, if we find education is a key driver of eating better, maybe you should focus more on education instead of, you know, some other issue. Okay. So this can identify some priorities in terms of encouraging consumer to make a better choice. There are two applications I'll demonstrate here to show you what we can do with this type of data and how we approach this issue with marketing models. Okay. So first, I don't have enough time to go through all this, but this is built upon many different kind of literatures. For me, my background is in marketing models, but then we also look at motivations, psychology, decision making, and some medical literatures. Okay. So if you kind of combine most of these literatures, you come to this comprehensive, kind of very complex relationship. How consumers make decisions. Okay. It's driven by consumers, well, their social, their culture, their data structure. It's also determined by some individual characteristics. So we are talking about their demographics and other things we can measure. Okay. Same time, we have companies that are trying to maximize their profit. And now they're also talking about social responsibilities. How do you make this entire society a better place? So all these incentives will get into the picture, how consumers make decisions. And what firms are doing to influence those decisions? A few simple examples, or maybe innovations in this area. We have nutritional labeling. That's one kind of innovation. By putting a number or some kind of starting systems on the package, consumer knows which one is better. Okay, it's an easier decision for them to make. And of course, in Quebec, the government banned direct advertising to children for like last 30 years. Other provinces, other countries are thinking about similar kind of strategy to improve the commercial environment for children. And same, there are promotions, pricing, tax credit on healthy food. That's also being under consideration by the government. Okay. So these are just a few examples. Let's look at the first example of the nutritional labeling. Okay. So here I'm showcasing two examples. This is a system being used by the UK government. Okay. So this is called traffic light. It's very similar to the actual traffic light. Three colors, green, red, and orange. If it's green, it means it's low in fat, or maybe it's low in sugar. Okay, so you know it's good. If it's red, this thing is too high on some of this attribute, you should avoid this. Okay, and you can say for this simple product, it's low in fat, it's high in sugar, and it's medium kind in salt. Okay. It's a very kind of aggregate indicator of this overall quality of this food. Okay. Some companies, they push this further, and they come up with a scoring system. Just one single number for every single product in the supermarket. This is from Newark Score System. We are collaborating with them on this for now. And their basic idea is, well, even for this kind of traffic-like system, people have to make trade-offs, right? And how do you know, is this better than those high in sugar but low in something else? By giving consumer only a single number, it's much easier for them to know which one is better overall. And also at the same time, for the food industries, you will observe some kind of very surprising trend. Okay. So we know low fat is good for you. So if you go to the supermarket, let's see what you can find on the shelf. Same brand of peanut butter, one is regular, one is reduced fat. Okay. But now, I give you a small quiz. Which one is better for your health? Reduced fat. No, regular, right? Okay. So if you, they actually did some estimation based on the nutritional quality. That turns out this one has a reduced fat, has a lower score, which means it's not as good as this one. Why? This is actual nutritional fat label. To reduce fat by a tiny amount, they have to adjust other ingredients. Increase sugar, increase sodium, and cut fiber. So which overall is bad for you? This highlights why this kind of system is useful in the marketplace to make regular consumers make the right decision. So one, just some other sample scores if you like to eat cereal. So go through the list and see which one is better for you. Okay. So given this kind of system, okay, what I do is I'm trying to collect data from market research firm to identify some kind of natural experiment. So this system was introduced in the United States in the last 2-3 years, and they have been applied in many supermarkets. I'm trying to identify supermarket which introduced this system that also overlap with my data. So then I could have this natural experiment to compare what people buy the same household before and after the introduction of the system. Do they improve their choice? And how much improvement we can say this choice? And how effective this system? How do they interact with all these other factors? Well, does education matter? So is more educated people, they buy higher rated products. Is that true? So based on our previous experience, some of this might give you some very surprising results. So one typical example, if you go shopping for very simple drugs in drugstore, we know there are national brands, there are private label. Many of them have identical components. It's exactly the same. But one has national brand advertised on commercial all the time. One is private label, but much cheaper. We did some prior study. We found out people with lower education, they are more likely to buy national brand. People with higher education, college degrees, they will go for private label. Right? That's a case of information. If you are better educated, you understand the difference between these two, you choose a better, same quality, but lower priced item. But if you are undereducated, even you might have a lower income, you actually suffer more. You pay for higher price, you get same quality. Okay. There are a lot of implications on this kind of thing. So this is a project option in progress that under consideration. Okay. A second case, this is actually this one, we have some quite short results. This one is a different story, but we are using the same framework. Okay. We are looking at consumers' food purchase. This will be the ultimate outcome in supermarket. And then link this to some kind of exogenous health shock. Okay. So what would happen if one of your household members was diagnosed with diabetes? That's a big health shock, and there are many things you can't eat anymore. So do people make the right adjustment in terms of the food purchase? And which factor will drive those kind of adjustments? Just to show you some results, okay, we use the same database we have. We track consumer purchase for the last 4 years, from 2006 to 2009. And we have over 100,000 consumers. We identify all those people who were diagnosed with diabetes in the last 4 years. We contrast your purchase before and after. We also have a control group, so we can get this difference in difference model going. We can identify the pure effect of being diagnosed with diabetes. And we have econometrics. Because there are so many categories in the basket, we focus on few selected categories. We have things like high sugar content, like ice creams, soft drink, juice. We also have things which are better for you, such as fresh salad, yogurt, nut, and there are like 12 different categories identified in this process. So these are the categories we use. As you can see, the combination of good and bad categories without sugar or maybe salt versus good category, let's put that out, they contribute around 30% what people typically buy in supermarket. Okay, it's a large share of their basket. Okay, some typical sales, given this are from United States, you see a lot much stronger sales for sugar products versus prudent products. Okay. These are the actual econometrics models. We use a topic model, which the dependent variable is a purchase outcome. It's regressed upon a bunch of interactions with consumer demographics, education, health status, price promotion, whatever over there.
What is your unit of measure?
I'm sorry?
What is your unit of measure?
The unit measure is per serving. So we convert the purchase if you buy three fruit, and we look up the table from FDA, we convert the purchase quantity into the actual number of servings for this family.
No, what I mean by is the demographics, you talk about what is your meaning?
It's household.
Household?
Yes. Okay. So some main effect. Okay. So this is this just talk about by changing price, how much more or less people will purchase certain kind of food. Okay. So this is where action is, all of them are negative. It's very straightforward. If the price is high, people buy less. Okay. It's the same story for almost all the category except safe food. Okay. For safe, it seems like the price is higher, maybe a higher quality, people buy more of them. That's only a special category. Same for promotion, non-price promotion, whether this is featured in newspaper, whether this is on display at end of aisle, and you can say most of them have a positive effect. If it's on promotion, people buy more of these two of these categories. Okay, it's a very basic marketing story, just to confirm the face validity of this measure. Okay. Okay. Same for education. Okay. For people with higher education, they actually you don't find a fixed pattern. They consume less regular soft drink, but they drink more juice, eat more ice cream, and then they eat more. Slightly more healthy food than the people with a lower degree of education. And same for behavior controls, this is measures how many times you eat outside for fast food, how many times you go exercise every week. So if people, they have a good behavior control, they live a healthy lifestyle, this also shows up in their purchase. They buy better food to eat. So less sweetened food, more natural food. Okay, so here are the interaction effects. Okay. This one talks about if some member of your family was diagnosed as diabetes, what would happen to your purchase? For an average household, this is what's happened. Okay. You can see a big drop of sugars, soft drink, juice, nothing happened to ice cream, and a particular increase in nut, and soup, and that's CSD. However, at the same time, you also observe a big increase in salty snack and processed meat. Okay. So this is one of the surprising thing we find, that people, once you are diagnosed with diabetes, you do cut down your sugar consumption. At the same time, you are not taking care of your salt intake. If you know diabetes, you know one of the common consequences, or you know one of the higher likelihood is you are going to have hypertension and high blood pressure. This is very bad for you, this stuff. So you shouldn't be doing that. Same as a marketer, we kind of care more about promotion and price, what those will do to consumers. This is, these are telling a very similar story for the blue bars. This is essentially what I showed you in the previous slides, just as a comparison you can show, okay? As a baseline, okay? But for the red bars, those are the price effects. So overall, you find a negative price effect, which means a higher price will discourage people to switch to healthy food. There's a strong price effect. But we did not find anything for promotion. Okay, we only find promotion effect over here. That's the only red factor. Okay. So promotion doesn't matter. Whether it's on feature, it's on sales,
people don't really switch to other categories because of promotion.
Just two more slides, I'll be done. Okay, education. Okay.
Again, this is average responses, blue bars, just careful you compare. And for the red bars, those are education. If you have higher education, what would happen to you? For people with higher education, they also cut more ice cream. They cut more, they actually reduce some of the processed meat and the white bread, and they will increase the consumption of fresh salad.
So people get more educated?
Yes. Okay. And the last one, some kind of gender effect.
So the blue bar is for male, the red bar is for female. Okay. So in terms of, for the blue bar, you can say male actually cut more of this soft cream than female. But for the salty snack, male increase intake of processed meat more than female.
There's some...
Is that after diagnosis?
After diagnosis, okay. Yes. So all this are interaction effect. Okay. So that's all my slides. And the basic message is very clear. I hope it's very clear to you. That when we talk about this kind of issue, food intake, which might lead to food-related chronic disease or obesity, we have to look at this from social aspect as well. As I can show you, price, promotion, education, income, they are going to have impact on what consumers choose. And that's something we have to pay attention to. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, when you looked at the price, did you look at temporary fluctuations in the price? Or
yes, the price is measured by the temporary fluctuation.
Okay, so a permanent increase in price, for instance, by taxes would have an entirely different effect because people tend not to buy a product when it's expensive, if they know that it might be on sale next week, but if it's always expensive, then your effect might be different.
You are correct. We did not look at the last part of price effect.
I was just trying to get my head around your kind of analysis and the unique summation. So, information on the household about chronic disease, you know, diagnosis came from CCHS, maybe?
No, they came from independent survey made by the market research company.
Oh.
So they have survey for each member in the household. It's only for the purchase information. It's at household level. We don't know who consumes what within the household.
You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, I was part of a consensus development statement. And we very much talked about all these issues that you presented on. And one of the things that came out yesterday was that, you know, why don't we have some regulations that actually front of the package, you know, food quality labeling, you know, rather than behind the, you know, behind the package, so that when it is displayed, you know, on the shelf, people don't have to turn,
right?
People don't have to actually grab the item and turn to the back of the item and see, you know, because they could just do a quick scan,
right,
you know, and see which item has the best quality. And what about also the health check?
Health check.
Did you use health check?
No, I don't have data on them. So unfortunately, this is driven by the data we have. We are collaborating with new ones. They are willing to provide the data to us to examine those different interactions. But health check, we don't have access to their database. That's the point that's limiting our research. We'd love to compare different nutritional labeling systems and see which one is more effective. But that really depends on which data we can get access to.
What about the food front of the package? Do you have any comment on that?
I guess I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, I also disagree. I don't think the problem is simply because people can't turn the package around. There's a bigger issue than that. So you are suggesting something make people's life easier, but maybe at the same time, someone actually told me for the UK traffic light, when you go to shop for cakes, you have to go buy those with red light, because those cakes taste delicious. High in fat, high in sugar. So it's not only about which one is better, but it's all about what people want to buy. That's a slightly different
question. Follow up on that, I have a comment as well. I appreciate this observational database that you use, but I'm more sort of in favor of this sort of a sociological approach and actually asking people and have some qualitative research. That will be an independent study, of course, but I think it's essential to engage the public and sort of ask them why they do what they do. Oftentimes, as I showed today in my first slide, too, what we assume as sort of experts often are quite different what end users actually think. In fact, this is a very sort of a large literature on it. The designers and the end users have very different views on the same innovation, and it's relevant between scientists and policymakers, because policymakers are also, in a way, knowledge consumers, and when scientists generate knowledge, they don't think of policymakers and vice versa. So I think observational research is very important, but at the same time, that can be usefully complemented with sort of sociological approach. Because a lot of these behaviors are socially embedded, they don't occur in a vacuum, so just as a comment. Another thought I had was a time course of the effect. When people have a diagnosis in the family or some kind of illness, at least in some other areas of medicine, they are not sort of long-lasting effects. So I just wondered if you thought about doing a study on that.
Yeah, we actually we tried that option, like look at whether the effect wears off over time, but I don't think we have a long enough time theory. So we try, we don't find any difference in terms of response over like 2 year period. Maybe it takes longer to reduce, or, but that's something we try.
Thanks, you. Any other questions for you? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
For the-